Good morning, brothers and sister. It's a great joy to study Word of God, especially in time of chapel. What we encourage, what we believe about exposition. Sometimes preachers, they select some scriptures, they go here and there, and sometimes no, there is a temptation to choose easiest passages. What is easiest scripture they can choose and they can preach years and years. The importance of preaching verse by verse, it will help us even to study difficult passages, to understand difficult passages. Even the Holy Spirit wrote like this. We need to study like this. When we go like this, people will be edified. We will be edified. So today, we know we are going through 2 Timothy, the series of 2 Timothy. Now we are in chapter 3. Today our section, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. If you read this scripture, this verse 1 to 5, Paul wrote many sins of false teachers. But I want to remind you that we were saved by grace. But that it does not mean we should play with sin. What Paul is saying here in this verses, Paul is attacking the sins of false teachers. We should not neglect our sanctification. There is a difference, right? True believers and unbelievers. True believer is also sinner, but he repents of his sins. He cannot play with sins continually. But false teachers, unbelievers, they play with those sins. So here he is describing the characteristics of false teachers very clearly. We should not take care easily about sins in the world. You see, world is filled with sins. Even India, the Supreme Court said that homosexuality is legal. You can marry. Man can marry man. Woman can marry woman. So these things are going on. We are living in dangerous times, difficult times. The Paul is saying that chapter 3 verse 1. He is saying the same truth. We are living in times of difficulty. This passage will help us to run away from sins of false teachers. At the same time, it will help us to avoid sinners, false teachers, who is playing with their sins. Just we read for 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, says like this. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unloving, verse 3, unholy, verse 3, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoiding such men as these. It is very clear. Paul is, the theme of this passage that I have given is be aware of the danger of these last days. Be aware of the danger of these last days. We are living in the days of lost. It is very dangerous. Before that, look at the word but. He started with but. This is contraction of what Paul says in last chapter. Last verse, right? Chapter 2, verse 24. You can see 24 to 26. Please look at 24 to 26. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. They may come to their senses, escape from the snares of devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. What Paul is saying here, Paul did not hide the fact of the false teacher's existence. His desire is false teachers may repent of their sins. But he is not saying they are not there present. They are living. Their existence is very clear. It says last days. It refers to a present days, even now. Because Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, in the last days has spoken to us in his son. When Jesus, the last days begin with the coming of Jesus on the earth. Not only that, the last days begin with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. That means we are living in the last days. The false prediction of times of difficulty that will occur in the last days is already beginning to fulfill even that time. Even in this present situation. Look at verse 5. It says, avoid such men as these. The one question is, why did he avoid if they are not existing right that time? Did you understand? The false teachers are living that time. The churches are being attacked by false teachers. That's why he is saying, be aware. Because it is difficult time. Difficult times means dangerous times. Hard times. It is unable to bear. We know many churches were planted by pastors. Just small churches. They are simply, they preach word of God, they share gospel. But what so-called preachers, false teachers, what they are doing? They are preaching something else. The all church members in the congregation running after big churches. Because that person has a big building, AC, disco lights, everything. People are attracted to those people. If you share the gospel, you planted the church, but some false teachers came, he is taking all your flock by his false teaching. People are being attracted by them. It is very hard to bear those kind of situations. Paul is reminding Timothy, be aware, you need to take courage to deal with these people. Very difficult time. Paul describes here the sins of false teachers. 2 to 5. The different kinds of sinners we can see. Here 5 aspects of sins of false teachers that warns us. 5 aspects of sins of false teachers that warns us. The first aspect of sins of false teachers that warns us is sins that demote God. Sins that demote God. Look at verse 2. It says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, revilers, unholy. Look at verse 4. It says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I commend all these sins into one part. That is sins that demote God. The first sin, 5 sins that demotes God. The first sin that demotes God is loving self. Loving self. It refers to loving oneself. To intend on one's own interest. And selfishness. Self-centeredness. This time you need to have patience because he gave many words. We need to understand the definition of those words. It is talking about not loving God. Even not loving children, wife, only themselves, not serving, only being served by others, not God-centered. The false teachers, they are loving themselves. He is self-centered man. We can understand clearly. If you study about him, his story, he wants to be first. He could not tolerate the righteousness of his own brother. Why did God accept it, my brother? Why he did not accept it? So he decided to kill his own brother. See, look at the sin of selfishness, self-centeredness. My brother is in the first place in the sight of God, so I will kill him. People are like this. Even the first son who born to Adam and Eve became murderer because of selfishness for his self. These last days are filled with these kind of men and women, only thinking about their self, not others. In a small way, if you go to, even it refers to all unbelievers also. Even it is showing the sins of believers also. The many sins we have read in this passage, even Christians are following these sins. But it is found in false teachers. If you go to a queue, if you are in the line, you are taking medicine in government hospital, somebody will come and he will jump and he'll take medicine. Arey Baba, we are standing half an hour, you are coming and taking medicine. See, it's like people are being self-centered. They want to clear themselves. They love themselves. They won't care about others. These false teachers are like that. Brothers, even we can overcome this. If you have this kind of sin in your life, even though you are Christian, even though you are going to be a preacher, if you have this kind of sin, but the motivation is Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his selfless love is the motivation to serve others, not thinking about ourselves. Even Philippians, Paul says, chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness. Don't do things for yourself, anything. You need to do for God, you need to do for the church. The motivation is Christ. Motivation is God, selfless God, who gave his son for us. The second sin that demotes God is loving money. The love of the wealth, the money, loving wealth. This person is a lover of riches. That is the idea. He loves riches. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. Jesus is saying like this, verse 13. No servants can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and wealth. So after that, verse 14, it says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, the same word used here, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and was scoffing at him. When Jesus is explaining the danger of money, loving money, but these Pharisees, they are lovers of money. That's what Paul is encouraging. Even Jesus dealt with these kind of people. You, Timothy, you are going to deal with these kind of people. To love money, they will create mess in the church. Paul is helping Timothy. They are greedy. They were serving money, not God at all. Jude chapter 1 verse 11 says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, for pay they have rushed, handling into the error of Balaam. You know the story of Balaam. He led Israel into idolatry and adultery for the sake of money, for the sake of reward from king. Even Jude chapter 1 verse 16 says, these are flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. The same thing, Jude and Paul, they are saying same thing. Nowadays, we are living last days, the teachers, even unbelievers, sometimes believers, are running after money, loving money more than God. When we are loving, serving money, then we are not serving God. I'm not saying money is evil. Money is a tool to glorify God, to feed our family, but we should not love money more than God. But these false teachers do like that. You know, many, you know that the things happening nowadays, the false teachers, for that money, they are selling handkerchiefs. If you buy this handkerchief, then you will be blessed. Then oil. If you have stomach pain or you are not getting some good motions, you drink this oil, prayer oil, then you will get clear motion. Even fever, if you have cancer, you apply on that part. They are selling oil. Then they are selling Jordan water. Yes, you sprinkle on your house, no demon will come. You know these things happening for the sake of money? Some people bringing Jordan money, Jordan mud. I don't know where they are getting that mud. Maybe they are getting mud from India, but saying this is from Jerusalem. Sailing, when you put that mud in the grave, what will happen? That person will go to heaven. Is it true? But what kind of gospel they are preaching for the sake of money, for the sake of money. I know one person, maybe you know, in Andhra Pradesh, one person is selling 10 rupees note. If you keep 10 rupees notes here, then your all debt will go away. You will become rich. But you need to buy the 10 rupees for 100 rupees. You need to pay 100 rupees. You are laughing. That is true. The people are doing. That's why Paul is saying that. People are being lovers of money. Demanding money before preaching. Have you seen these people? How dare you demand? Before I come to preach, you need to arrange some things and you need to pay me. If you won't pay me 1 lakh rupees, I won't come to that meeting. People are doing like that. Be careful, brothers. There is a temptation. There is a temptation. Be satisfied. He will provide what you need. He will provide what you need. Don't run after money. I know you need to look after your family. You need to fulfill your things. But God will provide in His time. But we should not run after money. The thought sin that demotes God. Blasphemy. Look at the word revilers. Verse 2. Which means slanderous, abusive speech, personal mockery, defaming speech. It's like insulting, disrespectful words against God. It can be against human beings, but mostly it is against God. These false teachers, they are speaking, using abusive speech against God. It may be directly against God, directly against Christ, directly against the word of God. Example of this sin is 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Paul says, even though I am formerly a blasphemer, Paul was reviling against Christ. Paul was maybe, I'm thinking, it is possible that who is Christ? I know my religion. I know Yahweh. I know my God. Who is this? Jesus. He is man. He is simple. I hate this person. Who follow him, I will persecute. That is his commitment. He is blaspheming. He was blaspheming against Christ. The same thing false teachers who are living in the church are doing in different form. Different form. Acts chapter 13 verse 45 says, but when the Jews saw crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Did you see? Contradicting to the doctrine. Contradicting to the doctrine of Christ. The scripture is blaspheming. Blaspheming. Because they are blaspheming against the word of God. Even that itself blaspheming. You know, we can say Jesus is not God. Jesus is not fully man. Jesus born, I don't know who is his father. He born in sin. He is sinful man. There are many things. Abusive speech against Christ, against God. Even false teachers can make. Those who are living in the church, they can make. Speaking against the word is also known as blasphemy. Brothers, don't contradict the key doctrines of the Bible. That is called blasphemous. Blasphemous. Sometimes, no, you may disagree with left-hand issues, like other things, but you should not contradict the main doctrine, key doctrines, which you are learning in PTS, which you are being trained by them. Don't leave them. Be committed to them. No, sometimes you may agree here, after leaving PTS, if you are going to ministry, you have other friends, you may join with some other people, they will tell other doctrines. Don't compromise. Key doctrines, gospel, Christ, God, the scripture. That is the lesson. If you are compromising, you are blasphemous against the God. In this way also we can do. False teachers are doing that. The fourth sin that demotes God, unholiness. Look at verse 2, part B. It says unholy, right? Can you see that word, unholy? This word refers to being in opposition to God. What is scared scripture, holy scripture? Impious, wicked, we can say. We can say that revolting to God. This word refers to, the unholy word refers to impious acts that are against the law of God. It is against the law of God. We can say disobedience to the law of God. People are being unholy by disobeying the law of God. Then we can see fifth sin that demotes God is loving pleasure instead of God. Look at verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The idea is they have a special interest in pleasure. They have a special affection with the pleasure. They don't have the intimacy, the affection with God. They have affection with the pleasures only. We can say instead of loving God, they are loving pleasures. Pleasures. Each one has affection with different pleasures. Some may have fine pleasure in where he sleeps, the bed, everything. What he eats. The pleasure is nothing. You will get, if you do something, you will get happiness. People are loving those things. The bike you drive, or car you drive. Their focus is only on worldly pleasures, not on God. See, idea is, God is not saying, you don't be happy. Don't be satisfied. But here idea is, don't love the pleasures of this world more than God. But these false teachers replaced pleasure in the place of God. Don't love pleasures instead of God. You know, brothers, God loved you and made you his child. He crushed his own son for your salvation and also for your sanctification. So you need to love him. Love your God is the first greatest command. These false teachers are not doing that. They are replacing other things in the place of God. Let me ask you, are you love God from your heart? Truly you love God? Did you understand God's love? Love him. But these false teachers are not doing that. The second aspect of sins of false teachers that warns us is sins that promote themselves. Sins that promote themselves. Look at verse 2, part B. For men will be boastful, arrogant. Verse 4, conceited. Conceited. Three words. It is referring about they promote themselves. That is the sin of promoting themselves. The first sin that promotes themselves is boasting. This is refers to the one who makes more of himself than reality. Promises more than he can perform. It's like full of big words. You can't do that, but you say, I can do this one, I can do that one. the people are doing like that. Generally, it is used by speakers or philosophers, cooks, and doctors also. Even doctors, they used to say, I can do this one. Even these false teachers, they are saying that it has the idea they can lead a life without help of God. They can do anything without help of God. That is the idea. I can do this one. I can do this one. You know, James chapter 4 verse 16, it says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The context is they are thinking that they can control the future. I can go here. I can go there. I can become rich. You know the context? They are boasting about themselves. The same, the word he used here. He may boast about all things he is going to accomplish in the future. Even false teachers, I will do this one, I will do this one, which he cannot do. Just the boasting about himself. Those people are there. The second thing that promotes themselves is arrogance. Arrogance. It refers showing oneself above others. Dominating and putting themselves above others, preeminent, looking down on others, that is the idea. With an arrogant estimate of one's merits, treating them with disrespect, treating others disrespectfully, putting himself is more important than that person, arrogancy that is. Luke chapter 1 verse 51, it says, he has scattered those who show themselves proud in the thinking of their hearts. So arrogance starts in the heart. It may not appear outside in words suddenly, but it starts in the heart. Thinking, see, I am better than Badal. I am better than Vikas. And I will disrespect you. That is the idea he is saying. Who won't disrespect anybody who is a Christian, any person? You are not greater than anybody else. It is showing arrogance. The thoughts in that promotes themselves is conceited. Can you see that? Look at verse 4. Says that verse 4, right? Conceited. This word also, it is showing that this word refers to being puffed up with pride. It has the idea of blowing one's own trumpet. See, these three words are almost similar. The blowing one's own trumpet. Have a excessively high opinion of oneself. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6, the same word used here. Not a new convert so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. He will become like prideful. If you take a new convert person as an elder, he will become prideful because of that authority. That's what Paul is saying. These three words is talking about the pride promoting themselves. You know, Korah, who is in the Bible, who is arrogant and prideful, who fought against Moses. We know that he wants to promote himself against Moses. Actually, God gave them, Levites, a work of serving in tabernacle. But he was not satisfied there. He was asking, he is desiring for the priesthood. For that, see, he is promoting himself. What happened to him? Numbers 16:31. As he finished speaking of all things, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. Their households, all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. See, God hates prideful people. God loves humble people. God gives grace to humble people. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I am not saying this is sin of false teachers only. It is also sin of even believers, even pastors and teachers. Are you promoting yourself more than God? Are you looking down on people? Maybe they get some less mark in Greek, less mark in other things. I am not encouraging. They should not score much rank. But you should not disrespect. You need to encourage them. You may have good qualities. You are very skillful in some areas. For that, you should not disrespect others, criticize others. You know, sometimes these things happen among even teachers and people. I am better than that pastor. I am better than that teacher. Even that is sin. Be careful, brothers. If you are prideful, if you are promoting yourself, God will oppose you. God will discipline you. But he will give grace to humble. Third aspect of the sins of false teachers that warns us is sins that affect family or church life. Can you see? We can see the division. The sins that affect family or church life. Look at verse 2, part B. It says, men will be disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossip. We can see those words. It's saying that sins that affect church family, it affects family members. The first sin that affects family or church life is disobedience to parents. Look at verse 2, part B. Disobedient to parents. Can you see that word? This is also sin. Even after marriage, before marriage, you need to obey your parents. So after marriage, you will become head. But even that time also, if your parents, mature Christians, says from the word, you need to obey it. I guess, those people, false teachers, parents are godly. They are helping them. You are doing something wrong. You are preaching something wrong. But these false teachers, they are not listening to their parents. I believe whatever I want. I preach whatever I want. I don't want to submit to you parents like that. Something may happen. That's why Paul is bringing this. If mature Christian, mature parents say something, you need to obey it. If they are saying from the word. Not only that, the mature spiritual father, those who are guarding you, those who have authority, if they say something to you, you need to obey. We need to practice those things. Because this is disobedience to parents is sin practiced by false teachers. Obey your guardian who has authority over you. Even in PTS, dormitory, you have one parents, right? Just they are looking after you. Even professors, they are in authority. They are like guardians. They are like parents. If they say something from the word, you need to obey. Don't disobey. If you have unbelieving parents, have godly man, godly woman, so that you can listen to them. You can listen their instructions. Be counseled by mature Christians. Obey them if they say something you are doing wrong. The second sin that affects family and church life is ungrateful. Look at verse 2, part B. Ungrateful people. See, ungrateful. Ungrateful people don't show any appreciation to others who have showed their love, their kindness to them. False teachers will forget what people have done for them. They don't say thank you. Just forget the help and love of others. You know, sometimes people go away from the church from small things. Even though they got many things from others, but they are not thankful to them. Don't forget to appreciate those who acted for your physical welfare and spiritual welfare. So how can you grateful to them? You can pray for them, and you can help them when they are need of your help. See, others may help you one way, you can help others way. Don't forget the help of others. Be thankful. First of all, you should thank God, but you should not forget to thank even brothers also. The thoughts in that affects family, church, his life, is unloving. The unloving denotes a lack of love, affection, especially for close associates and family members. It can be also translated heartless, not having natural affection. It is opposite of treating other people roughly. These false teachers, they treat others roughly. They won't handle carefully. They won't show affection. You see, they will scold those who come to their church. They will curse those who come to church. If you are not listening to me, tomorrow your leg is going to be broken by accident. There are some people who says like that. They don't have affection with the flock. They don't love people. Just they handle roughly the people. But we Christians, we teachers, we must love our congregation. We should love our brothers and sisters, especially our family. False teachers don't love their wives, their children. Even they don't love their parents, all relatives and church members. Sometimes even Christians, even pastors, we neglect showing affection to others. Are you loving your brother? Are you loving your wife and children? That's why, you know, even false teachers, they have immoral life. They won't love their wives. That's why they have other things to do. Having four or five wives or two wives. Why? Because they are not having affection with the family. The fourth sin that affects family and life, church life, is irreconcilable. This word refers to an unwillingness to be reconciled to others, unforgiving to others. Also refers to unapproachable to others. You don't want to forgive that person. You don't want to speak that person. I think you experienced that. This, if you are a true believer, if you have something fight with somebody else, if you have unpeace with somebody else, if that person comes, no, you feel waiting. You are not free because you hate that person. Because that person has done something else. Before that person comes, you are very happy. If that person comes, you will feel like sad. Did you experience that? So that is the indication you don't want to be reconciled. Why do you want to take that burden? Go and speak to that person. Then immediately that weightiness will go. Then you will get the freedom, that love, that joy you will get. Whether he did mistake, whether you did mistake, we need to reconcile with God, especially with people, church members. Even though pastors, we are preaching word of God, sometimes what you preach from the Bible, congregation may not like. They may hate. They may show hatred towards you because you are preaching the truth. So that time you need to be peaceful with them. You need to speak with that person. Because this is the sin of false teachers, not sin of a true caring pastor. The motivation is God, the great reconciler. He made his enemies his child. He made his enemies as his friends in Jesus Christ. If he made peace with us, we should make peace with them. We should not imitate false teachers. The fifth sin that affects family And church life is malicious gossip, a word that is derived from Greek verb that means slander. It refers to gossip, accusing falsely, to give false information. It is used for devil. Devil is doing, accusing falsely. But there are Christians, even false teachers, they are accusing falsely against others, destroying the testimony of a preacher, destroying the testimony of other brother. They use this means, gossiping, telling lies about one person with somebody else, not talking with that person. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 11 says, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. Even he says to older women in Titus chapter 2, don't gossip about things. Don't accuse falsely about others with others. Paul is helping Timothy to have strong heart because people will accuse him falsely. False teachers, those who are living around that Ephesus, they may say against Timothy. That time he has to be careful. He has to be strong hearted. They may gossip about him. Something else, if he, what he is not doing. Every true pastor faced false accuse. Every true pastor, ask Pastor Samuel. He may face many accuse, false accusations. So you need to be very strong. You need to be aware of these things. When these things comes, you must be careful. Be careful about gossips, brothers. A pastor can also do gossip. I remember one pastor said, I won't remember his name, just one pastor is confessing of his sin. Hey brother, I have sin of something. Please pray for me. Then he explained all his sin. Then that pastor said, brother, please pray for me. I am also dealing with one sin. What is that sin? Sin of gossip. It's like he may tell about this person. Even pastors are struggling with gossips. A pastor is the one who trusted for confidential things. People come and share their sins. We should not display with everybody else. We should keep confidential. Better if you don't tell even your wife. Even whatever I get in my church, I won't share with my wife also. Because that is not edifying to her. It's like it is not sharing the sins of others is not entertaining. That is not making edification of others. Just to keep yourself and speak with those people. If church members know that you will share others what they shared with you, next time they won't open their heart. They don't want to speak about their personal life. Then they don't want to be discipled by you. I know these things happen. If it is process of discipline, that's fine. You understand what I'm saying? If it is process of discipline, so you need to bring to other people. Then you need to bring to church. That is different matter. But initial stage, you must be confidential. Because you are going to be pastor. Many sins will come to you. Hide. You pray for that. You bear those things, pleasures, treasures, but don't share with anybody else. But these false teachers, they're accusing against everybody, speaking bad about others. How Korah speak about Moses. The fourth aspect of sins of false teachers, that ones are sins that destroy others. The first sin that destroy others without self-control. The word refers to people who completely lacking in self-control, uncontrolled. It will takes the idea about every sins, like he cannot control about his anger. He cannot control about even sexual temptations. That is also used, that is also linked. You need to control yourself. The fruit of the spirit, one of the fruit of the spirit is self-control. But these false teachers do not have self-control. Then he used brutal. It refers to a behavior that is wild, violent. violent. It's like they behave like violent people. They behave like wild, like animal in the forest. People are like that. The thought sin that destroys others, hating good. Hating good. Says right, verse 3. Haters of good. It refers to people who are against anything good. Enemies of everything that is good. They are opposed to godliness. They are opposed to good men. To lack of generous interest in public good even. Something good is happening in the public. They don't like that good. Opposite of public expectation of the goodness. They don't like any good. They want to create mess up. They want to do things badly. They hate God. They hate Christ. They hate word. They hate the holiness. They hate all the good principles which is provided by the government. They don't like those good things. Yes, they need bad things. They love bad things. The fourth sin that destroys others, betraying. Look at the word. Treacherous. Treacherous. Which means betraying. To betray. It refers to breaking one's faithfulness to another by handing someone over to control of that person's enemies. Who is that person? Best example? Judas. What he has done? He betrayed Jesus Christ. We can say that traitors, they are traitors. False teachers are traitors. The men will leak. It is a possibility that many times, you know, those days when church is going through difficult times, persecution, those who are being with them, they may tell to enemies. So that pastor is staying there. That believer, they are gathering that in that place. You go and catch those people. Those things were happening those days. They are very friendly with us, but they will tell to our enemies. If you are preaching gospel, if somebody, government says you don't preach gospel, you are preaching gospel, who is with you, he will say to the government, policeman, here is the person, he is preaching gospel. People are doing those things. False teachers are doing those things. It destroys race, it destroys church, it destroys that man's life. The fifth sin that destroys others, recklessness. Recklessness. The word refers to reckless, right? Reckless, we can see that word. Refers to doing things thoughtlessly. Also, it refers rash. Rashly doing things. You remember those who are preaching gospel, they put them, they threw them on the floor with rashly. We can say that thoughtlessly doing things. Dealing with people rashly, speaking without thinking with others, harming others without thinking. So we must be do things very peacefully, brothers. You should think before you are doing any action. If you won't think, then you are going to do sin. The false teachers are not thinking. They are doing actions rashly. The finally fifth aspect of sins of false teachers that warns us, the sins of hypocrisy. Look at verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Godliness is a technical term for true Christianity. Godliness is here talking about religious thing. They are holding an outside appearance of religion, godliness. They look good outside. But inside they are not good. They are not godly. This is also a description of false teachers. They are just lovers of self, lovers of God. They are unable to live sanctified life inside of their hearts. Inside of their hearts. But they are coming to church. They do things. They preach word of God. But inside they are not godly. What happened was 5. It says, although they have denied it, Power. Here, power refers to the ongoing work of God in believers. If you are a true believer, God have the Holy Spirit is in you. He will work. He won't allow you to go away from Him. He will help you to live holy life. But these false teachers, the outside, they look religious. They are godly, but inside, they are not godly. That is the thing he is saying. He is describing about false teachers. That we are like true Christians, godly men, but they are not true Christians because of the lack of work of God in them. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," Jesus said like this, "hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Did you see what Jesus is saying about Pharisees and scribes? Even Jesus, he himself said, deny these all kind of religious men. He denied it. He will deny end of the day. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 to 23. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons. And in your name perform many miracles.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" One day, Jesus is going to say to all false teachers, those who look outside godly, inside they are not godly, for them he is going to say, "I don't know you. Depart from me." But we may have these kind of sins, but Christ will give strength to overcome. You cannot live this in this sin continually. He will give strength to overcome. That is the difference between false teachers and true teachers. False believers and true believers. Because the scripture promised us, God started working in us. He will complete his work in us. He will make complete his work in us. So that's why it is very dangerous. See, why it is more dangerous, difficult, right? Because of they appear like good, godly, but inside they are not godly. That's why it is more dangerous. That's why don't focus on outside religion only, but first you must depend on God. You must have deep love towards God, killing sins and having holiness in heart, asking God, asking the Holy Spirit, "Help me to live for you, to live for Christ." You are described according to your inner person, not according to outer person, inside of God. God is going to speak with you who you are inside, not who you are outside. Because these false teachers are like that. But I am not saying doing things outside is wrong. But you must be godly. You must be Christian in your heart. Then do the things outside. That is fine. But these false teachers are like that. But Paul helped us finally. He only gave application. So what to do? We can see all sins of false teachers, these people. So what Timothy has to do? Then he said, "Avoid such men as these." That is the application Paul is giving us. Avoid such men as these. Timothy is commanded to avoid such people. He must keep away from them. Purposely avoid associating with them. Turn away from them. Timothy must separate himself from these men who have sins that demote God, that promote themselves, affects family life and church life. They have sins, destroys others. Who has the sin of hypocrisy? Don't have fellowship with these people. Please keep yourself separated from these people. And also he says it is like continuously. Timothy must separate himself in an ongoing state, continually, for his benefit, for the benefit of the church. He will be protected from their sins, their influence, if he is away from those people. He will run after sinners to share gospel, but those who live in the church and live ungodly, those who are false teachers, we should avoid those people. That is the conclusion, that is the application we are supposed to take. Who is your friends? Who is your associates? Please think about that. If you have association who preach gospel sometimes, who promote social work sometimes, don't associate with them. Who preach word of God very nicely sometimes, sometimes they allow all worldly things inside, don't associate with those people. Even though they are believers, they may go heaven, but we should not associate with them. Find new people, godly people, to have association so that you can stand in times of difficulties. God may help us to have this commitment, avoiding sinful false teachers, having friendship with true teachers. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, our heart is breaking, Lord. The world is filled with sins. Lord, false teachers and unbelievers are around us. Lord, even we are struggling some of these things, Lord. Lord, help us to be sanctified. Make us a holy vessel which is useful for you. Lord, give us strength and courage when we are going through difficulties, Lord. When we are dealing with false teachings, Lord. Lord, help us, give us courage to protect ourselves and our church members. Lord, and also, Lord, help us, Lord, to live for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.